Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's the second day of spring, March 22nd, 2022, and I hope you're spring-like where you are. We're here in Maine. It's like a 50-degree day and sunny, and as I like to say, the only pile of snow left in all of southern Maine is on my front lawn. Other than that, it's perfectly clear out there, and I hope it's clear and nice and sweet where you are. All right, we're going to archive today's show, which is going to be with Dr. Summer Schultz, who's the superintendent at Del Rapids School District in South Dakota, just outside, I think, of Sioux Falls. And she's going to explain to me why it's Del Rapids School District number 49-3. We're going to find that out. That's another exciting thing we're going to talk about, all she does in early learning, and talk about how they just got a blue, they were just named a blue ribbon school, their elementary school. It's cool stuff. I'm going to go to thank my friends over at waterford.org for putting this show together with Summer. It's going to be a nice early learning show. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Everything we do is linked over there. We've got a new website. Actually, I can just give you that, which is teacher-retention.com, teacher-retention.com. We are really concerned about this. A lot of teachers are leaving the profession. I hope you're not one of them. Please double think it. We found a couple of people who are doing really wonderful training regarding this, and I hope that people go over and check it out. It's called a Compassionate Teaching Reset, and it's over on our website. It's under Professional Learning or at teacher-retention.com. We're real concerned about it. All right. We're also concerned about social-emotional learning for both teachers and kids, and we have SELtoday.org, again, linked over at the other website, and also the podcast, the magazine, et cetera, all at ace-ed.org. So please check it all out. We're doing a lot. There's a lot of flux in education right now. We're concerned. We want to make sure things go smoothly. So, please, that's all ace-ed.org. And I'm going to bring on Summer now. And I think I'm also going to bring on my friend from Waterford, who I know is hanging on the phone and going, don't do this, Larry. I'm going to bring Lynn on, too. It's circling. Okay, let me say hi to Dr. Schultz. Summer, how are you? It's Larry here.
Hi, good morning, Larry. I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's good. I'm glad to hear that. How's the weather near Sioux Falls today?
Oh, you know, it's been very nice today. We have a little bit of mixed precipitation, but not accumulating, so we'll take that in March.
That's great. And I have two questions for you before we even begin, but I got to say hi to Lynn. I did bring you on, Lynn, so sip your coffee quietly. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning, pal. Okay, it's Lynn Esser, everybody, from Waterford.org. Lynn, if you want to join in, just scream out, okay? Do you want me to put you on mute? What do you want me to do?
I've got myself muted.
All right, you go mute
and
just listen
and
enjoy.
Well,
I just wanted to say hello. Okay, all right. Summer, are you ready for this? We're going to talk about early learning. I have two questions. Your superintendent of Del Rapids School District, just north of Sioux Falls, but it's designated as number 49-3. What does that mean?
Right. Well, that's a great question, Larry, that you did not prep me for. So,
yeah, go ahead. Go. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I could make something up if you wanted,
you know?
But
what is it?
I don't. You know, so we each have a number, and that's ours.
Well, congratulations. You know, I thought Illinois was the nuttiest way they let designated school districts. Okay, yours. This is close. 49.3. Okay, can I call you 49 from now on? That's a riot.
Yes.
Del Rapids
sure.
School District.
Sure, you can.
Okay. Question two, this one you can answer. Are you ready, Summer?
I'm ready.
I was on your website. It has a picture of a big muscular, like a cartoon, a big muscular guy wearing like a gold miner's hat with a pickaxe, which
right.
I know is your emblem of your mascot, but I couldn't find the name of the team. I'm going to bet it's the Miners. But I'm not
nope.
sure. What is it? What is it?
You are wrong. We are the Couriers.
What does the picture have to do with that?
Well,
he is
in a sense a miner because Del Rapids, our location is embedded with quartzite rock. And so we are the Del Rapids Couriers.
Quarriers, not Couriers, Quarriers, like a quarry.
Right.
Now I
like
misunderstood what you
yep.
said. Wow. Okay? So you're not the Quarrymen, which used to be a, I think, the original of the Beatles. These are the Quarriers.
Maybe.
Right?
I think we're the only
wow.
one in the nation. So.
I think you are. I
yep.
think you are. Okay. Well, congratulations to Del Rapids School District number 49.3. And before we get into early learning, I got another congratulations for you and all the Quarriers. Okay. You be one of your elementary schools was named a National Blue Ribbon School. Am I right?
You are right. Yep.
Let's hear the story, Summer. Let's go. Brag.
Right. Well, you know, this we received the nomination just before COVID, and so you know we.
Wow.
We spent a little time celebrating, and then we moved forward, making sure that you know that we didn't skip a beat and continue to find new ways to you know maintain that. They look for academic excellence. They look for schools that are closing achievement gaps. You know, so we know as our demographics change that what worked in the past might not work now. So, like I said, we celebrated and then we kept moving forward. You know, I think it's due to a lot of things. South Dakota is not a state that pays for preschool, or any sort of funding for preschool. So, you know, we have to get creative, and our district has a very successful kindergarten prep program. And I think that plays a lot of it. We try to invest a lot into our title program to make sure those who are not on target early on in math and reading get a chance.
Good for you. And congratulations on the blue ribbon thing. And by the way, I want you to describe the district to everybody. This is Del Rapids School District of South Dakota, everybody. Number 49-3. I don't know why none of us do, but number 49-3. Okay. Tell everybody about your district. And, again, feel free to brag.
Oh,
demographics,
yes. Well, we
everything.
Are a metro school district. Metro
yeah.
school district to Sioux Falls. So on the east side of the state, like you had mentioned in the introduction by Sioux Falls, we are considered a small of the large schools in South Dakota. So for a lot of people listening, a school with 1,000 kids is not ever considered large. But in South Dakota, we are one of the smaller schools that is considered large. And so we have the three schools. We have an elementary, middle school, and then high school.
Yep.
High graduation rate, very
yep.
low dropout rate. You know, we continue to work towards even better academic scores than we have, but our elementary is almost always at the top of the state year after year in assessment data, and we're pretty proud of that.
You should be proud of it. How far out of Sioux Falls are you? I couldn't tell on the map. How far?
About 15 minutes.
Oh, so you're really right there. You're right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds nice. Is it low hills? What's it look like?
You know, we're pretty plain. Yep, we have some plains. We are, you know, we have some rivers that go through, you know, with the Missouri River that goes through. And so that kind of cuts the state in half. And so we're considered East River.
Uh-huh.
But, yep, not a lot of change around here.
Right. I've never been to either of the Dakotas, which I'm embarrassed to say. Okay, my wife has been there on business and fell in love with the place. She just loves it out there. Okay, and I imagine it's just great. It's always just a fascinating place to me. Okay, what's your background, Summer? And I know you're very involved with AASA and their early learning cohort. Okay, and of course you know Eddie Manusak from Michigan and Peter from West Valley in Yakima.
Yeah.
Right? Good buddies, right? Good buddies of yours too, I bet, too. Okay,
yeah.
And just yeah, they are. Tell us about your background. What'd you do? What's your background? Are you a South Dakota girl?
I am. I grew up in South Dakota. I received my undergrad and first master's degree at Dakota State University. So yeah, I spent the first 8 years of my career teaching, coaching. I taught everything from elementary ed to high school special ed. So, and my first master's is in educational technology. So taught back then when I was teaching that, you know, we were teaching kids how to create web pages from, you know, from Java code, and then, you know, programs came along that made it a lot easier to create them. But so I taught, like I said, just about everything. I've been a superintendent for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, in Minnesota and
I saw your picture. You must have started as a superintendent when you were 11.
I wish.
Yeah.
My first superintendent job in Minnesota, I believe I was 31. So I was.
Wow,
I was,
that's fabulous.
I was one of the younger ones in Minnesota, I think. So.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think like a lot of superintendents, unfortunately, the early learning cohort fell into place somewhat by chance. You know, I can't say that I have a lot of experience with early childhood, and I think that's common with superintendents. And
absolutely.
So I have just thoroughly enjoyed staying in it as long as I have here now. I think this is finishing my third year because we're able, you know, you're able to grow as a professional. You're able to see that K-12 should be pre-K-12 if we're really thinking
yes.
of things
yes.
right.
Thank
and
you.
So that early learning cohort just has really expanded my knowledge and given me the connections, you know, And advocacy in a state like South Dakota, any help we can get to advocate that pre-K is not separate from K-12 or shouldn't be, is helpful. So, you know, my work in that has been, you know, for my district as well as the state trying to help figure out how we change things a little bit.
I congratulate you for that. And you said a couple of things that really struck me. First of all, congratulations on being so young and being made a superintendent. You're a very talented person, okay, back when you first started there.
Thank
that
you.
You're not young now. Congratulations on being a – I mean that, and congratulations on being a female superintendent. There's not that many of those, okay, in the scheme of things in a profession that is 80% female.
Right.
Okay, there's nowhere close to 80% female superintendents. Okay, and this is nothing derogatory against the guys, okay, but it happens to be a fact. Okay, third thing you said, most superintendents are not early learning oriented. And I mentioned Eddie Manusak over in Dundee Community Schools in Michigan, who's a superintendent there, who was a kindergarten teacher, okay, but he's a rarity, okay?
Yeah.
And what you said, when I asked you about your elementary school, the first thing you said was about your pre-K program, okay? And as a superintendent, most superintendents, again, they all want the pre-K, but they're not in that world to begin with, okay? So the fact that you're using, if I may, AASA, my good friends, okay, and their early learning cohort to get your school district moving on that and have done so is great, all right? And also the fact that, again, Lynn's listening, I want to thank Lynn. Okay, and Waterford, my other good friends, okay, for doing the good work they do, all right, regarding early learning. And you put it all together, and like you just said, you said it wonderfully, we used to say K-12, but we have to say pre-K-12 because if these kids aren't ready by the time they get to you, so to speak, okay, they're going to be behind right off the bat, correct? What do you think, Summer?
I agree completely. And I, you know, I landed on Waterford again by chance at a national conference out in, I believe it was Los Angeles. I met Ann Brown, who was the CEO at that point with Waterford.
Yeah, I love
Ann. Yep.
She's a cook center now. She's a cook center now. You know she's that.
Yes,
you know that.
She
yeah.
is. She
yeah.
is.
Doing great
I actually have her coming to my
suicide prevention. Yeah.
Yep. We are partners with them also. So, we do. We have embedded Waterford into our primary grades, and so we do have that in our kindergarten and K prep classrooms. We were fortunate to have it up through first grade during COVID, and that saved us when our school was closed. We knew we were still getting research-based math and reading. And so we really pushed the Waterford Upstart for, again, in a state where
yes.
And in my community, if you can pay for preschool, you can have preschool. If you can't pay for preschool, there's not even Head Start in my community. And so the
wow.
Waterford Upstart is a lifesaver for families that, you know, can even and even those who do go to preschool to have that supplemented. It's huge. The Waterford program is just amazing.
It is amazing. And I have to ask you a question, and don't get political on this. It's not my point of this. What holds, and since you're there, it's the reason I'm pinpointing, South Dakota. I mean, your legislators and your education department, they're not stupid people, okay? They're smart, okay? And pre-K is important, and all the research points that. What do you think it is that holds them back? Because certainly you and your fellow superintendents must be, and all educators must be pushing them, certainly elementary educators. Well, what do you think holds, and again, I'm using South Dakota just as an example
right.
because you're there, okay?
Right.
What do you think holds them back? Where's the disconnect?
You know, I'm trying to you know, give them grace and patience, but after 10 years in a state that is the only state, I believe, that doesn't even, we are unable to get our legislative body to even approve an early learning council. I think we might be the only state. And I feel that those who are in support of that have even kind of moved on from that.
Wow.
You know, you can only get told
wow.
no so many times. You know, and I'm afraid that this current body and the body that's been in place has latched on to data, and they've latched on to the notion that we are able to catch kids up if they do not have preschool, and
wow.
we're just really struggling to change that mindset and that perception. There have been some, you know, legislators that have tried. I listened to one this session where the funding for Waterford Upstart is potentially going away also. So we just really struggle with the perception of its importance. Now, there are some key people in our state, Rob Munson, our associate director, and some other folks. We have Early Learning South Dakota. We have people who have kind of gone around the funding and said, you know what, you might not fund it, but we're going to provide a lot of resources, a lot of, some programming. We have the preschool standards of excellence that where preschool folks can look at what they're doing and compare it to best practices. So fortunately, there are good people in this state that are, you know, saying, yeah, we might not fund it, but we're going to help those who try to do it. So that is important. But as far as, you know, that legislative body, I just can't wrap my head around it either.
I can't either.
But in listening, that perspective just is that it is not a priority, and that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because, and it's the old analogy, I've used it a million times, you build a good foundation, you build a good house, okay? And everybody in construction, I'll use South Dakota again, and South Dakota knows that, okay? And if we don't have the right, foundation, it's that much more of a struggle on what I'll call K-12 to get it right. And they just have to understand that. All the research points to it, et cetera. It's just really, really hard. What are your teachers? Let's talk about your K-2 teachers. They must have a reaction to all the good stuff you're doing. With I'll use Waterford as the example now, with Waterford. Okay, and all the pre-K that you're learning, it's got to make their life easier and get kids at that third grade reading level easier, just to use that as an example. What are they saying, Summer?
Yeah, we are fortunate with our elementary team that, you know, we're small enough that you know, they can work together towards that goal. And so we are able to, with our kindergarten prep, those are kindergarten age students who don't go. You know, so often kids are, you know, they're barely age ready, and so they go into our kindergarten prep program instead of kindergarten, which allows us essentially an extra year with them, and so that really helps. And then those, you know, there's so much collaboration and communication with my early learning teachers, along with, you know, our pre-referral process was changed up a few years back to make sure that kiddos who are not at grade level in math and reading are given, you know, some very direct, more individualized intervention so that we can get them to grade level, you know, by that third grade reading status. And so they just work together. Kids aren't just, you know, in one spot and stay. They're constantly being, you know, quick informal evaluations, that sort of thing, to see, okay, are we making progress? Do we need to change the intervention? So it really comes down to those that team of teachers in my elementary working together, understanding there's not one, you know, one way fits all.
You put a smile on my face when you said that. Okay, no,
well,
seriously.
They're the ones doing the work. You know, I get to talk about it, but, man, they're the ones doing the work.
Thanks for recognizing them. We know that, but they still need a good leader.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. So I won't let you take that down. Take that away from yourself. Okay? There has to be great teachers, and there has to be great leadership. You know, on that subject of great teachers, and maybe you heard me mention at the beginning of the show, we're so concerned here about the teacher retention challenge. Are you facing that challenge at all in your
district?
Well,
we are.
I hope not.
We are fortunate that it has not affected us greatly now throughout our state. You know, South Dakota is at the bottom of teacher pay. So you throw in...
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes. You throw in a lack of financial incentive with, you know, a workforce shortage overall. And teachers, you know, I understand many professions can say that the last few years have been hard, and I am not saying that teachers are worse off than any other profession, because there have been some that, you know, our medical professionals, our transportation folks, they have just been, you know, they're all tired, but I'm just here supporting my staff, and, you know, teachers, they have, you know, these last few years, you know, they've had, some of them had to learn a completely new way to teach with distance education. We know the social emotional effects of our staff, of our students. And so to say burnout is not, you know, it's not even that people are, you know, they're tired, and they're just really gave it so much to their classrooms and their kids and in our communities. You know, schools where we were feeding kids, we were looking, we're providing mental health coaching and services for every family in our district now with the Cook Center, with their program.
Bless you for that.
So, you know, teachers have just stepped up, and so there is a shortage, and part of it is, you know, that they're wearing so many hats, and and they're tired, and they're so professional. They're too professional not to give 110% every day. In the last 3 years, that's looked different.
Wow. Thank you for saying everything you just said, okay? And I'm so glad you're working with Ann. And I'll tell you, the professionals you have, do everything you can to keep them, because they are so valuable, okay? And I didn't know that about South Dakota. Okay, that it had the lowest pay scale in the country. Is that against cost of living, too? Because I know Hawaii is so expensive, for example.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And,
well,
you know, etc.
When they just look at just the salary, we are down there.
Geez.
You know, so cost of living does you know, there's other ways to look at it, and that would obviously make it a different scenario, but I don't know that it changes it a lot. I can't say I haven't looked at it, but, you know, we just teeter around that bottom spot and yet put out some pretty great grads.
Yeah, I was just going to say, look, and by the way, I want to ask you, are you using Portrait of a Graduate? You're actually planning this all. Yeah, go ahead, talk about that. The whole spectrum there, K-12. Yeah, bring K-12.
Right. We have created our Portrait of a Graduate. We've submitted that, and we use it. We put it on our letterhead, and when we go into budget season, we remind ourselves, what does our Portrait of a Graduate look like? You know, And so we've made some, you know, we've been trying to advance with some of our community partnerships and CTE offerings and try to make sure we're creating that portrait that we, you know, students that look like that portrait. So, we have developed one. That was a neat process.
It is cool. And I did read on your, I went to the website, you're doing a lot of work in CTE these days, right? Career and technical ed?
Yeah, you know, we're trying. That's a goal. My high school principal and I continue to work with, you know, being able to expand that programming.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, we were able to get a partnership with welding so that our kids are able to get some post-secondary or post-high school credit with their welding and some internships and that sort of thing. So hoping that, you know, kids can find their niche even if it's something outside of a traditional academic classroom.
Absolutely. And if any of them decide to become plumbers, have them call me immediately because you can't find a plumber to save your life, and they'll make $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay, remind them of that. Okay.
Yes.
And by the way, if you can do plumbing,
you're doing
STEM. If you don't know STEM, engineering and science and math, believe me, you're going to be a lousy plumber. Okay?
Right.
It's the same with any other profession. Okay? The toilet will flush up, not down, unless you know this sort of stuff. Okay? So tell them, okay, and what you're doing in CTE is absolutely wonderful. And to bring it all around again, okay, this begins at the pre-K level. All right? And I have to ask this. Are the schools in South Dakota, the colleges that are providing you with educators, do they get the pre-K side of this? I think they do, but I'm just curious. Because, you need this as well as a superintendent.
Correct.
How's the teacher training is my question on all this.
Well, the teacher training in South Dakota, I might be biased, but it's phenomenal. We have
bless you for saying that. Great.
Yes. Well, and you know, I'm an adjunct teacher for a couple of them, so I have to say that.
At Augustana, right? I read about Augustana, right?
Yep, I have taught for Augustana. Dakota State University is obviously my alumni. My doctorate was from the University of South Dakota, so you know, we have state-of-the-art.
You do. You have good schools.
We do. We do. Now we're not really the hockey folks, but I don't know. USD women just knocked off Baylor Sunday night.
Wow.
Our women. So I tell you what, they're still rolling. But, you know, I don't know that our higher ed, our universities are putting as much emphasis on the early learning component.
They
or not. I just haven't been involved enough. The number of graduates in early learning is probably much like we look sometimes at even the high school graduates coming, and there just aren't graduating very many folks anymore, and that's the same with our early learners. It starts
there.
That Heckman Carnero, Ben Houston talks about that all the time. If we could just get that mindset of where the money makes the most, you know, most progress, where it helps that investment flourish, it's at the beginning. But
it's, you know, I'll tell you, there's an interesting thing that always goes on. The part of the hospital, any given hospital, that has the most trouble fundraising, all right, is the pediatric ward, although they work miracles at a children's hospital. And that's because most of the people who use a children's hospital are young families, all right? They don't have the money. But the cardiac division, which is a bunch of wealthier people who are, you know, seniors, so to speak, they get tons of money from people who donate because they save their life. And it's the same perception, okay, with K-12, pre-K-12 education. Okay, when we think of school, like I'll use your legislature, they think of high school. Okay, they don't go back far enough. Okay, and that's where the fundraising needs to happen. Ben Houston over at Waterford is dead on right. You got to change this mindset and make people understand they're going to do a lot better all the way through when you do understand this. Okay, mm-hmm. If they put the money where it matters, and that's in the foundation. How was that for a speech, Summer?
Right on, Larry.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate that. Okay? you're wonderful to have on. I'm going to be in touch with you, okay, because I really – you're just doing a good job out there. You really
are.
Thank you. I mean it. You're just doing a good job. And the Quarriers, that actually fit on – spell that. Is that with a Y or with an I-E-R-S? How do you spell that?
Nope, Q-U-A-R-R-I-E-R-S.
Q-U-A-R-R-I-E-R-S, right?
Yep.
Wow. I think you are the only ones. Okay?
I have a logo. I have a mascot book, and I do think it says in there we're the only one in the nation. So.
Wow. Wow. Well, I tried the minors. That didn't work. But that, the minors. That was close. I was close.
It was.
I was close. I like it. How's the team doing? How's everybody doing out there? The team.
Everybody's doing good. We're in between we're in between winter and track season. So
basketball.
I'm kind of fond of the point guard for our boys basketball team. He's
Ooh.
Mine, so I'm
Ooh.
Kind of fond of that kid.
Oh, he's yours. What's his number? What's Schultz's number?
It's number 5. Number 5.
Okay. Go number 5. Good job, Mom. Good bragging there. I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
good stuff. Thank you, Summer. This was just great. Really had a good time. I hope you did, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
And Lynn, bye. Oh, you're welcome. Believe me, we'll talk. Take care. Bye-bye. And Lynn Esser from Waterford, my good buddy, thank you for being here as well. Okay, and setting us up with this incredible lady who runs a damn nice school district. Okay, that's Del Rapids School District, number 49-3, but it's still Del Rapids School District in Del Rapids, South Dakota, Dr. Summer Schultz. And we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we're doing over there. It's good stuff. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.